There, if you have your Bibles, you can turn over with us tonight to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50 is where we're going to find ourselves tonight, and taking a short detour from our series on the feasts. And over the last several weeks, at least for the Sunday morning service, I've been studying and we've been looking at together the idea, the thought of bitterness. We've been looking at forgiveness as it relates to bitterness. And so this has been a topic I have been very much intrigued with here the last several weeks. And as I was preparing, and this Sunday morning, we'll actually finish that series on dealing with bitterness. But as I was preparing that particular message for this coming Sunday morning, now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but as I'm reading my Bible, whether it's a daily basis, a weekly basis, whatever the case may be, there'll be certain things that I'll start off planning to read, and then there'll be something that in that particular passage that I'm reading that will catch my eye, and then I find myself on a little rabbit trail, kind of hopping around like a little bunny until I can figure out exactly what it is the Lord's trying to show me. And so this is born out of that this week, something that the Lord just showed me that was helpful to me, that I believe will be helpful to us here tonight. And so you're there in Genesis chapter 50, and I'd invite your attention there, beginning at verse number 18. Genesis chapter 50, and we'll begin there at verse number 18, down through verse number 21. Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse number 18, down through verse number 21. And the Bible says this, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto him." Now, as we think about bitterness, and as we think about being bitter, if there was anybody in the Bible who had a reason to be bitter, it was Joseph. If there was anybody in the Bible, if there was anyone in Scripture that had a reason to be angry, it was Joseph. If there was anybody that had a reason to be angry with his brothers, it was Joseph. And I'm not talking about, you know, if you grew up with brothers or sisters, there's always that sort of sibling competition. There's always that sort of sibling rivalry where, especially if you're the younger sibling, you're always trying to match maybe what your older sibling has done or whatever the case may be. But that's not the case here in Joseph's case. You see, Joseph's brothers, they hated Joseph. And if you know anything about the account, you know they would then sell Joseph into slavery. And from there, he would be unjustly put into prison. And for years, Joseph would suffer because of what his brothers had done to him. But now we know the account, and we see it here in verse number 20, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, the Bible there says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Over the last several weeks in Sunday school, we've been looking at the life of Abram, and we've been looking at the life of Abraham and Sarai and Sarah, the birth of Isaac, and so on and so forth. And one of the things we've been saying over those last several lessons is the fact that it does not matter who you are, it does not matter how old you are, how young you are, but God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life, and that plan that He has for you is His perfect plan, His perfect will for your life. And so we see here in verse number 20, God's plan for Joseph. The brothers, you know, they sold him into slavery, threw him in the pit, stole his colors, made up lies to tell to the father. And Joseph looks at them, you see in verse number 19, or verse number 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." So here we find that the brothers now, they are kind of scared. They're kind of worried about how Joseph is going to react to their presence. And so they fall down before him. They say that, "We're your servants. We'll do whatever it is you want." But verse number 19, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not." And here, and this is the key verse. And he asks them this very simple question, "For am I in the place of God? For am I in the place of God?" You know, so oftentimes people wrong us and people do things against us, and our natural human response to that is to do what? To get them back, to pay them back. But here, Joseph had the right mindset. He says, basically in layman's terms, who am I? Do I take the Lord's place? Do I take God's place? It is not my place to avenge myself. It is not my place to pay me back. That is the Lord's responsibility. That is the Lord's you're doing. That is the Lord's job. And so we see here that God had a purpose and a plan for Joseph's life. For that which the brothers meant for evil, God meant it for good. And the purpose was that through his story and through him and his life, that there might be much people saved alive. Oh, that's quite the purpose. That's quite the plan that God had for Joseph. And so we see here a God, and again, the brothers meant this for evil, but Joseph would find himself not demoted, but he would find himself receiving a promotion from God Almighty himself. And he would be put into a position where he had the authority, where he had the ability to get even with those who did him wrong. But instead of getting even with them, instead of paying them back, Joseph did something completely the opposite. Joseph helped them instead. You see, rather than treating his brothers as they had treated him, Joseph extended grace and he extended forgiveness to them. You see, he recognized that it was not his job to exact revenge. It was not his job to carry out. And listen, I'm sure he was human. I'm sure he probably had thoughts of, "Man, if I can just get them back, if I ever see these guys again, The Bible doesn't tell us he had those thoughts, but again, he's human. I'm sure maybe those thoughts went through his mind. But he realized it was not his place. It was God's place. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Keep your finger in Genesis chapter 50. We'll be back there. But look, if you would, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and let's begin there at verse number 9. Romans chapter number 12, and begin there at verse number 9. The Bible tells us this through the Apostle Paul: let love be without dissimulation. That word dissimulation just simply means without hypocrisy. Don't let it be fake. Let your love be real for one another. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. In other words, avoid that which is evil. Stay away from that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. And again, we see this is dealing with our relationship with fellow people. Verse number 10, be kindly affectionate one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business. In other words, in your business dealings, give 100%. Be completely honest. Be completely forthcoming, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And here's the keys that we want to focus on. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh, that's easier said than done, isn't it? And we'll see it Sunday morning, but people, they use us. The Bible says they despitefully use us. Out of spite, they take advantage of us. And the Bible says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. That's the family of God right there in verse 15. When one person in the family of God, in the church, when they have something to rejoice over, as the family of God, we ought to rejoice with them. Oh, but that's the easy part to do, isn't it? You know, when someone's high on that mountaintop, rejoicing with them, that's the easy thing to do. But then when they're in that valley, when they're weeping, when they're sad, when they're going through a trial or a tribulation, or a heartache, or a sorrow, and they need somebody to come alongside of them. Well, the Bible says, weep with them that weep. Verse number 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And here's the next keys that we want to look at, verses 18 and 19. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, folks, this evening, the avenger is not us. Vengeance is not ours. Repayment is not ours. It's the Lord's and the Lord's alone. And so you say, well, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to treat our enemies? Notice there, if you would, verse number 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You ever hear the phrase, kill them with kindness? That's where we get that expression. That's where we get that phrase. Verse number 21. Be not overcome of evil. In other words, don't let what is done to you overwhelm you. Don't let it... Because sometimes when people do us wrong, we act out of character. We act not like ourselves. And the Bible says here, be not overcome of evil. In other words, don't let what they're doing affect how you normally are. But overcome evil with good. You see, this evening we can trust God to make things right. You see, God tonight, He does not always work according to our schedule. We'd like it if He did, wouldn't we? If God did everything on our schedule. But He doesn't work that way. He doesn't work on our schedule. He works on His schedule. Sometimes we would like God to work in a way that we would prefer. But He doesn't work that way either. But He always sees to it that justice is carried out. Go back, if you would, Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And again, thinking again of that story tonight of, and that account tonight of Abram and Abraham. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And notice there, if you would, verse number 23. Genesis chapter 18, verse 23. The Bible says, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this matter, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. And then here's the key, verse number 25, the end of verse 25. That be far from thee. And here's the question Abraham asks. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And so again, we know the story here. We know the account here. God is getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham comes to God and he says, okay, Lord, well, if you find 100 people, will you spare the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? The Lord tells him He will. Well, he couldn't find 100. Okay, if I find 75, no. Yes, I'll spare the city. He couldn't find 75. Here, Lord, if I find 50 people who are righteous, will you spare the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? And then Abraham asks a very poignant question at the end of verse 25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. And then notice what the Lord says in verse 26. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. I like that question in verse 25 because it tells us several very telling things about God. Number one, it tells us that, number one, that God is the judge. You and I, we're not the judge. God is the judge. And not only is he the judge, but he's the judge of all the earth. He's the judge over everything that we see. And so oftentimes we maybe look at the world around us and we see what's going on in the world around us and we say to ourselves, why does God allow it to go on? And we need to remind ourselves of this verse. Nothing that goes on catches God by surprise. God knows exactly what's going on in one day. And one day soon, he's going to judge all the earth. But then, not only that, I like the last part of the question. Shall not the judge of all the earth, and notice those last two words in this question, do right? Folks, tonight, oftentimes, and we see it in our court systems, we see it, all over. There are judges who are corrupt. There are judges who, they rule in favor of a certain person or a certain party, irregardless of what the law says. And it could oftentimes be said they don't do always that which is right according to the law. But I'm thankful tonight we serve a God and we have a God that he always does right. He always does that which is correct. And he never makes any mistakes. He never makes any blunders. He never makes anything that has to be appealed. All of his decisions are final. None of his decisions will be overturned on appeal because he gets the decision right the first time. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We have a guarantee tonight. We serve a God that he will do what is right 100% of the time. You see, tonight, God is the judge. And we don't need to be trying to assume his role. Faith tonight reminds us that God is working. Even those things and through things that are unfair. And that his plan can be trusted. Even when we don't necessarily see his plan or see his hand or whatever. I forget who said it, but years ago, someone said that when you can't see the hand of God, you can trace his heart. And oftentimes the hand of God gets blurred in the circumstances of life. But that's when we can trace his the path back to his heart and be reminded of just who God is and be reminded that he'll never, as our theme for the year is, he'll never leave us alone. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we come back to Genesis chapter 50. And we see the servant or the brothers, they were fearful. They were returning to Joseph to simply be his servants. And Joseph again asks them, am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And then verse number 21. Joseph gives them a final boost of encouragement, a final boost of, no, I'm not going to do anything wrong unto you. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Oh yes, tonight, if anybody had reason to be bitter, if anybody had reason to be angry, it was Joseph. But he chose and he realized that it wasn't his responsibility to exact revenge. It was the Lord's and the Lord's alone. And that tonight, folks, is what faith is. Faith never insists on taking matters into its own hands, but instead it trusts God for vindication. And so you're here tonight, and maybe you've been done wrong. Maybe there are people that have hurt you. And again, human nature is to say, man, I want to get them back. But realize tonight that that's the Lord's responsibility. That's God's responsibility. And listen, if you realize it is God's responsibility, you help to free yourself. And we'll see a little bit more of this on Sunday morning. Will you put it in God's hands? You let yourself go of that bitterness. You let yourself go of that anger. If you'll only but give it to God. If you'll only but give it to the Lord. And so tonight, maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe you're struggling with a hurt or anger or bitterness or whatever the case may be. The encouragement tonight, give it to the Lord. It's His. He'll deal with it. And just release yourself of that anger, of that bitterness, and realize it's His job, His responsibility. And remember, ask yourself the same question Abraham did. Will God do right? And you'll realize we have a whole book that says, yes, God will do right, and I can trust Him to do right. Let's pray.